Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Today, the IMF's latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa predicts a second difficult year as the region is hit by multiple shocks.
The decline in oil price is really of historic magnitude. In fact, for oil exporters in the region, we expect that the loss of income from this very sharp terms of trade shock is of the order of magnitude of 20% of GDP. Wow. So it's really, really huge.
Céline Allard heads the Regional Studies Division in the IMF's African Department and oversaw the writing of the report.
Given how much money these countries have made for such a long period of time, how is it that they find themselves in this situation so quickly? And why are they having so much trouble adjusting to low commodity prices?
So first, let me say that the growth in the region in sub-Saharan Africa has slowed markedly since last year. Basically, we saw growth last year of 3.4% for the region as a whole, and we forecast it to decline further to 3% this year. And this is way below the 6% or so that we've been accustomed to in the last decade. So one of the reason, and the main reason actually, why we've seen that big slowdown in the region is that many commodity exporters, and in particular oil exporters, are being hit by a very large shock. Indeed, we have seen the growth slowdown among oil exporters even sharper than for the region as a whole. We're forecasting growth for the group of oil exporters in the region to be 2.2% this year, which is way below the 6% we still had, for example, in 2014. And those are very large countries. In Nigeria, the biggest economy in the region, Angola, the third economy in the region, but also five of the six countries that make up the Central African Monetary Union, the CEMAC. And so those countries are struggling and finding it very hard to adjust for two reasons. The first one is that the decline in oil price is really of historic magnitude. Since October 2014, the price of oil has declined by more than 60%, which is more than any 18-month period since the 1970s. So it's really, really huge. The other reason is that even more than other commodity exporters, oil exporters rely heavily on oil revenues, both for external revenues, foreign exchange reserves, and the like, but also fiscal revenues. In fact, for oil exporters in general in the region, we expect that the loss of income from this very sharp terms of trade shock is of the order of magnitude of 20% of GDP.
Wow.
So very large. So while the countries have started to adjust, because the shock is so large, that's why it's taking time for the adjustment, it's relatively difficult to make. Mm.
And is this the slowdown in China compounding the problem?
Yes, you're absolutely right. What's happening is that China is part of the multiple shock at the global level that is affecting commodity prices. What's happening in China is that they're experiencing a rebalancing of their sources of growth away from investment and exports, which was the main source of growth in the past, more towards consumption and services. And in the process, they need less commodity. So the iron ore, the copper, the oil, the coal that they used to export in large quantity from the region, they're exporting that in less quantity. And in fact, it's very interesting to see that until mid-2014, sub-Saharan Africa as a whole was experiencing a very healthy trade surplus with China. And in a matter of less than a year, this has turned into a deficit.
But the report also shows that many countries in the region are actually doing very well. So what are the factors that are working to their advantage?
So I'm very glad you're pointing that element, because usually people think Africa as one country with one set of circumstances. But in fact, you know, sub-Saharan Africa is made out of 45 countries, and it has always been and continue to have very large set of circumstances across the region. So indeed, while commodity exporters are having a rough patch right now, We see many other countries still enjoying robust growth. In fact, out of those 45 countries, we still forecast 13 of them to experience growth rate of more than 5%, and sometimes much higher than that. And those are countries, for example, like Kenya, Senegal, Côte d'Ivoire, and many low-income countries. So what are the factors that are working in their favor? I mean, first, those are all oil importers, so they are benefiting indeed from a lower energy import bill. Also, those are countries that still continue to benefit from very strong private consumption, and efforts to upgrade infrastructure is continuing to support growth in those regions.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about that, actually. The report also shows that public debt is on the rise pretty significantly in some of the countries. Does the IMF still encourage countries to invest in these big infrastructure projects? Is it still a good idea?
So, you know, the infrastructure gap in the region still remains very large. And it's one that is hindering economic diversification, which is much needed in the region. If you don't have enough road and enough electricity supply, it's going to be very hard to develop industry, for example. So we still do think that efforts to upgrade infrastructure in the region are still very much called for. But given the circumstances, we see a need to recalibrate a little bit the way it was done. First, financing conditions have tightened very strongly in the region. And this is both at the international level, where we've seen the cost on Eurobond rise very strongly, but also domestic borrowing costs are increasing in many countries. So what we're encouraging the authorities to do is really to take a closer look at their revenue mobilization, domestic revenue mobilization, the tax day levy. We see a lot of scope there to improve that element. And that's obviously when you have a regular stream of tax revenue, that's a much more sustainable and durable way to finance investment and other essential spending. The other thing to do is to take really a close look at the various projects that come to the authorities and to really prioritize the one that have the highest return on investment.
Hmm. There's also a serious drought affecting the region. What are the economic implications of this drought and how does that affect the region's economic outlook?
So first, you know, what's important and quite worrisome is that some 40 to 50 million people might be at risk of food insecurity by the end of the year. So this is really of a very large magnitude. And to go back to your question, beyond those very high human and social costs that we see, there are also broader macroeconomic impacts. So in terms of growth, the countries that we think are going to be the most affected are countries like Ethiopia and Malawi, where basically we're seeing agricultural production plummet. But there are also other impacts. For example, in Zimbabwe and Zambia, the level of water in the dam has gone down very much, and that has really curtailed electricity production. And for example, in Zambia, they have had to import a lot of electricity with a very negative impact on their fiscal position. And the last thing is that with food prices going up, we're seeing in many countries inflation going up. And that, we fear, is going to affect the most vulnerable segment of the population, including poor people in urban sectors.
Hmm. So in the end, what is the IMF suggesting that these countries do to help them through this difficult period?
So before I answer your question, one point I want to make is that despite these very difficult circumstances in the short term, we still continue to see very strong medium-term growth potential for the region. And the reason is that, you know, the underlying factors that supported growth in the last decade, those domestic factors are still there. The very strong and much improved business climate for the region. And also, let's not forget that the ongoing demographic transition is going to support growth going forward. However, to realize that potential, we think that a substantial policy reset is needed. And in fact, in many of the commodity exporters who are hit very strongly by that shock, so far, we're seeing policy reaction slightly behind the curve. So it's really important that a prompt and robust response be put in place very quickly. And this is both on the fiscal side, where, you know, fiscal buffers have been used quite a bit, and with no prospect in sight of a strong rebound in commodity prices, we see a need for fiscal adjustment and really containing the widening fiscal deficits for those regions, both, as I said, by improving domestic revenue mobilization, but also streamlining spending. And for example, one thing we've said in the past and continue to say that fuel subsidies, which are in some countries very expensive and we think ill-targeted. I mean, they benefit mostly the well-off. And we think authorities should really look at those and reform them. Beyond the fiscal, for countries that are not part of monetary union, it's also very important to allow exchange rate flexibility to absorb part of the shock.
That was Céline Allard, head of the Regional Studies Division in the IMF's African Department, talking about the latest regional economic outlook for sub-Saharan Africa. You can read the full report at imf.org, and you can hear more podcasts like this one on SoundCloud or iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.